Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, there's so much going on. I'm just still shocked that I'm even here.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com. That's the voice of 15-year-old Corey Coco Gauff. Grew up here in Atlanta in her young years and moved to Florida now. She's 15 and she's the star, very poised, and she has been the big story at the biggest tennis tournament of the year at Wimbledon. And Sam and Greg, Sports Radio
99. You got to get that part
in. Absolutely, absolutely.
We get a call.
On this Sunday morning. Thanks for spending Sunday morning with you. We talked about her throughout the morning, and now we're going to bring in someone who's got to know her when she lived here in Atlanta and got a chance to work with her and at a
part
very,
of her past.
Very young age. On the waitfor.com hotline, Jewel Peterson of Peterson Tennis. Joining us now. Jewel, good morning to you.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Absolutely.
My goodness. Greg, you wanted to ask her right from the beginning.
I've had a number of questions. I mean, just...
Sure.
See, now you threw me off.
Okay.
I was going to follow your lead. I wanted to talk about her poise.
Okay.
That was one of the things.
You jump into the poise. How did you end up meeting this girl? Because she was a child at the time that you met. Well, she's still a child. That's what we're talking about her past, and she's 15 years old.
Yeah.
How did you get connected with her, with Coco, and at what age was she?
Well, you know, she was 7 years old, and I have been, you know, a top collegiate player, and then a professional. And then after I retired, you know, I got into coaching. And actually, it was a little girl that was actually working with my dad at the time, a little girl by the name of Morgan White.
Yeah, no Morgan.
Probably remembered her. I know, Sam, you've done a number of stories on her. She was great friends with Corey's dad, with her dad, Corey Gauff. And he contacted me. He'd been talking to John. I'd done some work with John and with Morgan, of course. And, you know, he contacted me and just said, yeah, look, I'm looking for a private coach for Coco. You know, are you interested? And from there, we started talking about the routine and what was going to happen. And then we got out on the court, and that was that.
All right. See, now don't do that again. You threw me all off here. And she said something that actually spurred on my next question.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, you ready?
Okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
Jewel, what I wanted to ask you was, what is it that you see in a parent that lets you think that, yeah, I can coach this kid? Because I would imagine tennis coaches, gymnastics coaches all the time get parents and they say, will you be a private coach to my kid?
Yes.
You got to say no from time to time. But what was it about Coco that you went, no, I got something special here?
Well, you know, I had heard about her prior to working with her, you know, and I love working with kids early on in their early development. It's one of my favorite parts of the development of a player. And so when he came to me, I thought, well, one, I'd heard about her, and then two, I'm thinking, okay, if I have a parent coming to me talking about private lessons, okay, this kid is probably already motivated, because you're not going to ask a coach to work with a 7-year-old, because it's really unheard of, and actually do private hours. We're talking about 2.5 to 3 hours a day from Tuesday through Friday. That was our routine. And Greg, let me tell you, Greg and Sam, let me tell you, when I tell you she would get out on that court, she would come out every day and she would drop her bags on the court. She would immediately run and start doing her dynamic routine. I never had to tell her to do it. Never had to prompt her. She never asked. She knew exactly what to do every single time she got to the court. So we're talking about a kid that was already motivated, who already had big dreams and big goals. You know, I knew she wanted to play on a high level, to play as a professional, because she told me. She told me, I wanted to play on the big stage, coach. I want to play in the Grand Slams. I want to play at the U.S. Open and French Open and now Wimbledon. So, you know, from the start, I knew, okay, this kid really wants it.
Jewel, I want to stop you real quick here, because you mentioned a tennis term, for our audience who doesn't follow tennis as closely as us, we understand coming, you know, getting the court and hitting the ball, but you said her dynamic routine. Explain for our audience who doesn't understand what that means.
Yeah,
what is that?
Yeah. Sure. It's pretty common among any athlete, okay? The dynamic routine is just your warm-up, okay? So it would consist of exercises where it's a combination of stretching and moving at the same time. So you're probably familiar with the old school way, Greg, okay?
Yeah.
Which is static. You call it static stretching, where you literally just sit there and you hold the stretch. But now, with science and technology, we understand that you can actually get a better stretch if you're actually stretching and moving at the same time. One, it stretches, of course, the muscles, but then at the same time, it gets them ready, gets them warmed up. So when you start, you can start a little bit more intensely, as opposed to, okay, now I've been standing still this entire time, now I got to get the body going. But because you've been doing a dynamic stretch, your muscles have already started moving, if you will. So that's the big difference now. That's the big change.
Okay. You got that, Greg. Yeah. You take notes on that.
Yeah, I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, okay. All right.
We know that because we stretch before we go on the air.
But here's the thing.
Old school. He doesn't know about that.
I know about that. Look at that. Doing it right now, as a matter of fact.
We're spending some time on the Waiting For It Doc Hotline with Jewel Peterson. Coach Coco Gauff, when she lived here in Atlanta, when she was very, very young, before her family moved up to Florida. Now, talk about the things that led her to be like a normal kid, because you would meet her every day. And tennis wasn't the only sport she was involved with.
Right, this was not the only sport she was involved with. She was doing gymnastics on Mondays, and I thought that that was genius. I can't say enough about her parents. They're very supportive of me coaching her, and they just seemed to do everything right. And I thought putting her in gymnastics was great because, one, it's going to work on her flexibility, and then it also worked in her upper body strength. So that really allowed her at a very early age to be able to really hit the ball hard for a seven-year-old. And on top of that, we were using the yellow ball. Okay, so there's a little bit of a difference here now with the type of balls that we're using, particularly with junior players. So there was a big push for 10 and under tennis, which was basically a push to get to make tennis on a junior development trend, which basically what happens is you're using mini little softballs, okay? You're using a smaller racket, and then you're using shorter nets. And the whole goal was to make the game more kid-friendly. And I was working with her at the time that this big transition was happening, where 8 and 7 and 9 and 10-year-olds were not playing with the normal standard racket or normal standard ball. They were now playing with these softer, more spongier balls and playing with smaller rackets. And this was a big effort to help kids be able to just be more successful early on. But here's why I'm telling you that story, is because we didn't do that with Corey. With Coco, she was already on the yellow ball when I got her, and then there was no need for her to change. She was so strong that she just had the tenacity, and she had the desire to get out and go after the ball. So if a ball was to get out of her strike zone because of her height, she would give the effort needed in order to make sure she got it in the right strike zone. So, you know, early on we could see that this was a kid that was really motivated, and she was not going to go the normal standard pathway that now, well, the new pathway that everybody was moving to. And then to your point about her being a kid, you know, when I would pick her up from school, she would get in the car, she'd always sit in the back seat, and she and I would talk about school. She'd tell me what happened, and I'd ask her more questions about school, and then, like clockwork, she would fall asleep. She did this Tuesday through Friday. She would fall asleep every time. So by the time I got to the clubhouse, I'd have to wake her up. And then, you know, she'd wake up, she'd be half asleep, she'd walk in the clubhouse, still half asleep, change her clothes, come out, and the look in her eye was a look of, let's go get it. I mean, the way she would transition from being a little kid that just wants to take a nap to a kid that says, I want to be at Wimbledon tomorrow, was incredible. And, you know, that was what was so special about her. Her parents were never at the practices. They would come afterwards and come and pick her up when they got done with work, but they were never there. And, you know, to this day, I still have never seen a 7 or 8-year-old with that type of motivation. Because normally you'll have, you know, a player, they'll have some days when they'll be kind of into it. And this is somebody, you know, maybe 10 or 11 or 12 years old, but certainly not at 7. I mean, at 7 years old, she was so motivated. And the thing about it is that you would normally have a parent standing there, and the parent would really, you know, kind of motivate them to do the right thing.
Right.
But she would do the right thing even when they weren't there.
Yeah, Jewel.
It was incredible.
Jewel, I remember your dad, Ernie Peterson, saying about Morgan saying, "As a process, we're not going to hurry the process." But this seems like something when the process kind of hurries you. As you watch her play now, what of that 7 year old are you seeing as she plays there, and what are your hopes for her this coming week? I mean, she's done something tremendous so far. There's still more tennis for her to play.
Yes, and it's exciting, isn't it? She's got to play Halep. That's going to be a great match for her. You know, I believe in Coco. I know she can do it. I know she can beat her. You know, here's what she's got to do to beat Halep. You know, in the last couple of, you know, the last three matches, what we saw from her was such composure. So you would see the upward and downward swing of the match, right? The win, you win a point, lose a point. She'd win a point, lose a point. And then she got to a point where she was down 2-5, I believe it was.
Right.
In the last match.
Right.
Yes, and we watched her rally back. You know, she's got to be able to battle throughout the entire match knowing that Halep's going to hit some good shots, but she's also got to believe that she's going to hit some good shots as well. Halep's going to make some errors, and just know you're going to make some errors as well. Just know and expect it to be a battle. Expect it to be some struggle, some tug of war. We all know Halep. Halep does not lay down.
No.
Halep is one of those players who will die fighting. So Coco's just got to remember that this girl's been out here a long time. She's not going away. She's going to hit some good shots. Expect her to do that. And when she does, hats off to her. But let's regroup. Think about what you want to do the next point, and let's get after it. She's got to, number one, stay aggressive, and number two, keep her composure. If she can do both things, which is what she did, I was so impressed with her the other day.
Yeah.
You know, she's down 2-5 because normally you're having to coach a player. We worked on this a lot, but you're having to coach a player to, when you're down, to still go after him. You know, go get it. Don't try to just give it to him or hope that they give it to you. You know, don't try to be conservative and just put the balls up the middle with no pace behind them. You're really trying a player to go after it, stay aggressive, come forward, take it back from them. And it's so hard for players to do that. You see them wanting to just put the ball inside the court, but with Coco, she kept coming.
Yeah.
And that's what she has to do against Halep.
This is Jewel Peterson joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Childhood coach of Coco Gauff. We just have a minute or so left here. I want to get your thoughts.
Sure.
Remove your coaching hat for a minute. Go back to just being a tennis fan. Could you just give us your overview of the state of American tennis, be it the men's or the women's game right now, and where you see it headed?
I think we're doing good. I do think we're doing. You're starting to see more and more players pop up on the men's and women's side. I still think we got a long ways to go. You know, when it comes to being on the clay, you know, that's a tough surface for us. You know, so we've got to definitely do some work on that. U.S. Open, we seem to pretty much do pretty fairly well in that tournament. I'd like to see more Americans popping up through that. But I think the biggest thing we're always going to have to remember is to work hard. We're playing against other countries where, you know, tennis is the only thing that they have. And that is something where you see a desire for something that we as Americans could never even imagine or ever even develop, only because we are born pretty much entitled. So we're always going to have to work harder and be reminded that what we're playing against, the people that we're playing against, the athletes that we're playing against the other countries, you know, this is their bread and butter. This is all that they have. And that's always going to be a big task for us as Americans, but we can get the job done. But if you watch, that's one of the biggest struggles I believe that we're always going to have, that we're always going to run up against, and that is we have options.
Yeah.
And so many athletes that you see in these draws, they don't have options. And so we're always going to have to work extremely hard in order to match what they bring.
Yeah. Jewel, we thank you for spending some time with us and telling us a little bit about the young Corey Coco Gauff. Next thing is the younger Corey, because he's 15 years old. But thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you, Jewel.
So good to catch up with
you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.